Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
One of those cliffhangers on the Paracast, where Expat, our guest this week, was asked by Chris about UFOs. What say you?
Well, of course, the easy answer from the scientific point of view is the one that Carl Sagan gave a long time ago. He said, UFOs are by definition unexplained. Therefore, there is no point in going on. They're unidentified. Unexplained. Unidentified, and therefore, since they're unidentified, that's the end of the story, so far as science is concerned. Well, Chris, this is not my subject at all, I must say, but I can comment a bit. It's obviously understandable that people would try to have a guess at what these things are. Obviously, also, I think everybody would agree that some of them, a proportion of them, have a natural explanation, and a proportion of them don't. To the extent that people allege a cover-up, I can kind of understand that if some of them are actually secret aircraft that are under development and that are classified, then those would, of course, be covered up. And that might very well explain the so-called silent triangles that Art Bell and other people have seen. Now, one more comment. As I say, it's not really my subject, but to me, the least convincing evidence of UFOs is the stuff that was shot from the space shuttle, showing particles that are doing strange things, aerobatics, going at right angles, suddenly reversing direction. These are completely easily explained by the fact that all spacecraft are accompanied by particles, bits of moisture, to do with the dumping of human waste overboard. And this is quite easily explained. James Oberg has done a brilliant job with this. You should look at James Oberg's website. He's written thousands and thousands of words about this and from a very expert perspective.
This leads me to a whole slew of questions from Blaby Boy, who is a fairly recent addition to our posting family at forum.theparacast.com. He's got a bunch of really good questions here, and let me just start off with his first one. What is your opinion of the appetite within major news organizations to deliver impartial information on space and the possibility of life? The BBC strives for impartiality, often facing allegations of favoritism from many aspects of the political spectrum in doing so. Did this ever become a problem with any of the documentaries you were involved in, or perhaps your knowledge through your network of peers?
It didn't exactly become a problem the way that he's put that question. I did have a political problem with a show that I did called The Peace Game, which was a crisis game involving an examination of how NATO would respond to a provocation from the Soviet Union. This was still in the time of the Cold War. I was warned off taking a certain line in the script of that program by the Foreign Office. That was pretty, pretty nasty, because the Foreign Office is not supposed to interfere with the BBC domestic television service. They own the BBC overseas service, and they were welcome to control that. They're not supposed to interfere with the BBC domestic television service, and in that particular case they did. I was appalled. Actually, I think I should have resigned, but I didn't.
To a bunch of other questions that Blaby Boy has. As interest waned in the later Apollo missions, did NASA themselves contemplate more extraordinary missions to try and maintain or rekindle interest in the Apollo missions? And that leads to a whole slew of questions about manned spaceflight in the 21st century. But did you ever hear of any sort of ideas that were being bannered about to try to get rekindle sort of interest? Because after about the third or fourth Apollo mission, you know, it became mundane and routine. I remember thinking, how could people not be excited by this? But, you know, it was relegated to, page two, page three stories.
You can say, if you want to be really cynical, that Apollo 13 was what rekindled interest because, as we all know, it blew up on the way to the moon, and it was only by a miracle that Jim Lovell and his crew were saved. That definitely rekindled interest, but that wasn't intentional. I'd like to say that I think not many people realize what an enormous fight developed within NASA about the cancellation of Apollos 18, 19, and 20. They were cancelled really for political reasons, and they were cancelled. Certain senior people in NASA acquiesced to that, and the allegation at the time was that they were basically just scared that the time would come that they would lose a crew, and that they wouldn't be able to cope with that. So they agreed to the political cancellation of Apollos 18, 19, 20, basically because they were scared. And that was the opinion of senior astronauts. I know that because I interviewed them and they told me this. So there was quite a fight about that. But I don't know of any extraordinary, airy-fairy mission plans, no.
Did that take the fire out of the space program, though, that decision?
Yes, it
led manned space flight. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Maybe, but we've forged ahead with unmanned stuff, big time.
Sure, unmanned space flight has been spectacular. Absolutely. No, it was a problem because it led to basically a lot of Apollo astronauts losing their missions. There were people who had trained for years and years and years, who confidently expected to be on those missions. They were told, sorry, boys, that you're not going to fly. It was a very big deal.
This is leads to another question. What are the best or most interesting rumors or conjectures around manned space flight that you've been hearing, maybe scuttlebutt? Is there any hope for the early 21st century for a manned space flight? I mean, what are we looking at? India? China? I mean, the U.S. is almost out of the game.
I'm a bit of a fan for the Phobos mission, I must say, actually. Initially, I was in favor of a return to the moon and the establishment of a permanent base on the moon. But there was a commission set up by the Obama administration. I forget the name of the commission, but they were asked to study all these options. And as a result of their report, the manned return to the moon really was next. And I became convinced by that. I think that was the right decision. I don't think there's enough percentage in going to the moon. It would be lovely if we could go to Mars, but there's a huge problem with a manned mission to Mars. And that is, if you want to come home again, you've got to take a huge rocket with you. It's not like taking off from the moon
right.
When they took off in that little tiny lunar module.
Yeah, it's got to be a two-way trip. It can't be a one-way trip unless you have some kamikaze pilots.
Well, you know, that has been discussed.
I bet.
Yeah.
Bad PR, though. It's not something that obviously would function as a PR. But, of course, I'm sure there are people who would like to send me on the one-way mission.
To the moon, Gene, to the moon.
To the moon, Alice. We have Expat joining us, former BBC producer covering the space program. We're talking about space mysteries with what he considers to be a reality check. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey,
hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is renovation teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water. But do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with Duracoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and Duracoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And Duracoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The Duracoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need for an airbrush or other spray equipment. Just degrease, then spray on Duracoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. Duracoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use Duracoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit Duracoat.net. Spelled Duracoat.net. Duracoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
That's Chris O'Brien channeling his inner Charlie Weaver. I don't know. That's really too old a joke that nobody remembers who Cliff Arquette was. So he was a guy who always played the old man, the kind of cranky old man character, right, Chris?
Charlie Weaver. God, I haven't heard that name in a while.
Cliff Arquette, and of course we know about the children and the grandchildren of Cliff Arquette.
Well, I've got a whole bunch of really good questions here from Blaby Boy, and I want to just put a shout out to him for coming up with so many great questions here. And he asked, do you agree with Stephen Hawking that humans are only going to survive by moving out into outer space? And will this be the underlying driver within academic circles for progressing spaceflight? And I add my own little caveat, are we dealing with some sort of evolutionary imperative to get us off the planet to seed the galaxy? Because we know the sun's going to go supernova, an asteroid's going to hit. Do you think that the powers that be and the purse strings holders are thinking along these lines?
Well, the short answer is no. I don't agree with Hawking's view. I don't think that that's the only way to survive. The way to survive is to become more intelligent and to stop fighting wars with each other.
oh, man. Good answer.
I want to mention one rather fanciful idea which I ascribe to. I think it was the same astronomer Patrick Moore who I mentioned, who said that all of humankind's achievements are really the inventions of the DNA molecule. The DNA molecule, once it was first made, sought ways in which to distribute itself more and more widely throughout the Earth. And of course, it did that by creating more and different organisms that could live in the oceans and on mountains and in Antarctica. And the latest invention of the DNA molecule is the human being and the technology to take it off the surface of the Earth altogether. That's a rather intriguing and philosophical idea.
Yeah, what do you think, Jane?
Well, if we're destined to go out there, why aren't we?
We haven't got the money.
Yeah, it's dough. It's all budgetary.
Right.
But you would think, I mean, with the amount of money that we spend killing each other and starving each other, and if we could apply just a fraction of that money to further our scientific explorations out in space, I think it would serve mankind a lot better instead of the armament companies and, oh, my God, Gene, I'm getting political again. Oh, stop me.
Okay, you want a real slap? I'm going to give you this slap on the head they do on the TV show NCIS. There you go.
I may say that is you're spouting one of Richard Hoagland's lines there, and there that is something that he says that I actually agree with him. That it's penny pinching to worry about the cost of spaceflight, which is such a tiny proportion of the defense budget. That it's pretty much coffee money to the generals who live by killing other people.
Yes, but it means they have to kill a few less people.
Well, yeah. They have to kill a few less people and sell a few less tanks, helicopters, munitions, rockets, missiles.
All of this to build a couple of
daisy cutters, cluster bombs, atmospheric barometric bombs. These guys, boy, you get a bunch of scientists with a mandate and a bunch of money, they're going to come up with all sorts of stuff. Why not come up with a way to further humankind's knowledge and experiences of the cosmos?
And maybe the destiny of humankind to go to the cosmos, live long and prosper amongst the stars, boldly go where no one has gone before. Oh, forget
well,
that.
Here's another question from sure. Blaby Boy. What do you think, expat? Which will give us more bang for our buck, back to the moon or on to Mars?
On to Mars, but I think for the reasons stated that we probably should stop at Phobos. And that's because it's very easy indeed to escape from Phobos. It's only about 30 kilometers across. In fact, the whole idea of landing on Phobos is really perhaps the wrong word. You should consider yourself to be attaching to Phobos rather than landing on it, because it has its microgravity. So it would solve that problem, and it would mean we would have a stable platform from which to observe Mars underneath us. But as I say, there has been serious thought to the one-way trip. People who would volunteer to go to Mars, tramp around, and when they run out of oxygen, say goodnight.
Good night, Alice. Okay, that's kind of maudlin, but moving right
it's
along.
It's kind of morbid, but you have to think that's the kind of mission that would never sell. Or what they would do, of course, is they would chalk it up to being an accident. They'd say, sure, we plan to bring these people back, but something sad went wrong.
Oh, no, they couldn't do that. It would be absolutely, totally obvious to anybody who understands spaceflight, just simply looking at the size of the spacecraft they were sending. You could tell immediately whether there was any possibility of coming back or not.
They couldn't get away with it unless someone was there to just accept it. I agree, there's no way they get away with that. We'd have to find ways, if we want to go really to Mars, to get them there and get them back and develop the technology. Maybe we will develop warp drive.
There's one, you were asking about things that are kind of in the pipeline, rumors, conjectures at the moment, and there's one that I like, and that apparently at Marshall Space Flight Center they're studying a fission engine. This would be an enormously efficient engine that would work by controlled nuclear fission. Excuse me, I think I mean a fusion engine. Not fission. This is the technology of a hydrogen bomb, but tamed. And it would make such an enormously efficient rocket engine that you could go to Mars in half the time. Be great if that happened.
Would it have a power, that kind of aircraft, to be able to take people back from Mars?
Well, the mathematics works out right. You see, the problem with a high-speed journey to Mars is that you need to expend just as much energy slowing yourself down in order to be captured by Mars gravity as you did to speed up in the first place. So that's extremely wasteful.
Not to mention also escaping the gravity of Mars on your return trip as well.
Yeah, well, that's a different problem. But I think the thing about this a fusion engine is that it's so incredibly efficient that you no longer care that you wasted all that energy speeding up in order to just expend more energy to slow yourself down again. Be great if it, as I say, great. The mathematics are there; they work, but it's not a reality yet.
Well, maybe something they can invest in, but the politicians don't have the stomach for it. Remember, folks, you'll find us on Twitter. Our name, The Paracast. We have Expat joining us, covering the mysteries of space and answering your questions, ladies and gentlemen. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail.
Available in four sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is your call to action. Will you survive?
Learn how to survive at the biggest preparedness expo in the USA.
The Get Prepared Expo.
Over 175 seminars and exhibits. Survival medicine, survival gardening, growing heirloom seeds,
negotiating for your life,
surviving violent climate change, radiation survival, economic collapse,
disease prevention,
raising bees, rabbits, and chickens for food, defending your home and family, surviving tornadoes, water filtration and purification, build buckets of storable food.
Ask yourself,
are you prepared for solar storms, nuclear meltdown, dollar collapse, skyrocketing food and fuel prices, earthquakes, tornadoes?
Where is your plan?
Get Prepared Expo, Saturday and Sunday, November 3rd and 4th, Ozark Empire Fairgrounds,
Springfield, Missouri.
Meet USA Prepares Vincent Finelli, Dr. Norman Shealy, Dr. Joel Wallach, Matt Stein, The Freeze Dry Guy, Missouri Storm Shelters, Jeff and Karen Olson,
and over 50 more instructors.
$8 one day and $15 weekend passes available online now. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Will you survive?
GetPreparedExpo.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
What a fascinating show. And I do not think we're going to be sued, Chris, by Richard Hoagland or Mike Barra. They won't like us very much.
I hope not. Shows. Yeah. My lawyer doesn't deserve any of my money. I try to make it so that he doesn't have to even think about that. So,
well, I know that if the lawyer sends me a bill, I just put it atop the other bills.
Do you feel like getting into the Hoagland-Barra theories about how NASA worships the Egyptian gods?
Why not?
I didn't want to go there, but since you brought it up, go for the gusto.
Let's go for the gusto, and then we probably we'll have time for some more questions. I know we have a bunch.
Yeah, again, this is something that I've blogged about many times, and it's just it's a complete comedy to me. What Richard Hoagland and Mike Barra say is as follows, that there are senior people in NASA who want to pay homage to the Egyptian gods Isis, Osiris, and Horus. And they do this by means of worshipping the proxies of those gods, which are the stars Sirius. That Sirius stands for Isis. Regulus stands for Horus. And the three belt stars of Orion, Alnitak, Alnilam, and Nintaka, stand for Osiris. Okay? So that's five stars. And they say that these senior NASA officials actually fix it so that that major mission events like launches and landings happen only when any of those five stars is at any of five elevations as seen from some place that's relevant to the mission. Those five elevations are minus 33 degrees, minus 19.5 degrees, 0, 19.5, and 33. So they say any of those five stars should be on any of those five elevations in order to to justify what they say is an obsessive, relentless campaign on the part of these NASA officials. Richard Hoagland used those words, relentless and obsessive.
Okay, what is a campaign if it's not relentless and obsessive?
Well, we can test this.
Right,
We can look. In fact, Richard Hoagland published what he called a table of coincidence on his website, which listed the mission events that he felt were qualified under this theory. You go through it program by program. The Ranger program, that was the early lunar unmanned program, there were no qualified events. The Surveyor program, no qualified events. The Mercury program, no qualified events. The Gemini program, no qualified events. The Apollo program, four. So that is four hits out of 223 possible opportunities, which makes 1.8%. I don't think this is very good data.
Well, it doesn't really put in any sort of case for an occult angle to mission planning if we're dealing with such a small percentage of missions that fit into their theory. I've always scratched my head and thought that that was fuzzy logic, for lack of a better term. But, it comes back to that whole idea of having to come up with new and different things to keep the career going, don't you think?
Well, it gets better. Hold on. In the space shuttle program, there were 135 launches, and very sadly, only 133 landings. How many of those conformed to this idea of Egyptian god worship? The only one that Richard Hoagland has stated as conforming was the launch of STS-88, which was back in December 1998, when he says that the planet Mars was at an elevation of minus 3.33 degrees as seen from Phoenix. Okay, that fails to qualify on four separate grounds. First of all, it uses the planet Mars, which is not one of their five stars. Secondly, it uses the elevation minus 3.33 degrees, which is not one of their ritual elevations. Thirdly, it uses the view from Phoenix, which has nothing to do with the mission. And fourthly, it uses the launch time that actually happened as opposed to the launch time that was planned. Now, Richard Hoagland has agreed that it only applies to the launch time as planned, because quite obviously these occult worshippers of Egyptian gods cannot take account of the many, many launch delays.
Well, so, of course, they can't predict anything that accurately.
Right.
Of course.
So therefore, that one is disqualified also.
You know, when I listen to this, my mind is boggling over the elaborate scenarios that are being created to demonstrate occult connections with anything. And why do we need to do that? I can't even see the reasoning behind it.
Gene,
I really can't.
I've mentioned this on the show before. One of the few times that I tuned into Coast to Coast was after the Phoenix Lights event that occurred the second week of March, was in 1997. And Hoagland had a huge turnout, a whole auditorium of people that paid a lot of money to sit and listen to him. And he introduced Vance Davis of the Gulf Breeze 6 as his Masonic scholar. And this is about the time, I think, when he started going into this whole occult twist to his I use the word loosely, research. But if anybody out there in the audience knows about Vance Davis and the Ouija board scenario with the Gulf Breeze 6, or was it 7? I'm not sure. I kind of put it out of my mind. It just doesn't make sense to me. An expat, well, what do you think? Is this just grandstanding? I mean, what do you attribute this to?
This was, in fact, one of the things that brought Richard Hoagland to my attention back in the old days with Art Bell on Coast to Coast AM. when he mentioned this ritual worship of Egyptian gods. That's I kind of remember sitting bolt upright in bed saying, this man is absolutely crazy.
Okay.
Part of it is to do with a geologist by the name of Farouk Elbaz, who was very influential in selecting the Apollo landing sites. And Farouk Elbaz is Egyptian by birth. And I think that this is what somehow got to Richard Hoagland when he realized that the Apollo landing sites were essentially being selected by an Egyptian.
Oh, there has to be a conspiracy when you have an Egyptian there. It just doesn't. You know, I also wonder here whether we hit a situation where people who like to tell tall tales, which is, of course, the position that's being taken here, that they have to be bigger, badder, better every time. So every time they tell a story, it's got to be a better story because the audience is expecting something new. It's not that you just have the face on Mars and you spend the rest of your life with this face on Mars or the bridges on the moon or whatever it is. Each time you do a lecture, or at least every 6 months or every year, people are expecting more and more revelations, and sometimes those revelations get to be so eccentric that even those who might have accepted the reality of some of the initial claims suddenly find themselves wondering whether this is a bridge too far in the wrong direction.
Gene, I very much agree. And I
you
think
see, that, you're one of the few people who do, I'll tell you.
I think we saw a very good example of that last year in all of the foo-for-raw about Comet Elenin. Do you remember that?
Sadly, I don't, or maybe I should be happy I don't. Remember, folks, you'll find us on Twitter. Our name, The Paracast. We have Expat joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Vote for radio. You know, right now, so many people are trying to get themselves elected. Not a day goes by I don't see a billboard, or get a mailer, or a flyer, or receive a phone call from a politician of some sort. All politicians have something to say, so why don't they say it? That's right, say it here on the radio. That way voters could hear the emotion in their voices and hear the passion they might have to serve the public as an elected official. You know what, politicians and campaign managers? Radio can do that for you. Here on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, you can target voters with an affordable radio campaign that might help you get elected by using a medium where your competition may not be. Radio. And advertising on GCN is more affordable than you might think. Learn more. Visit GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email. advertise@GCNlive.com. That's advertise@GCNlive.com. Vote for radio. How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have expat joining us, a former BBC producer covering the space program, trying to provide what he regards as a reality check to space mysteries. The final segment of the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Expat, any more comments on that before we clean up some more questions?
Well, I just want to comment a little bit about Comet Elanin, which was last year's story. Richard Hoagland was really, really extravagant about that. He went on for hours and hours and hours. Not only
Homer Simpson moment.
And all of it was absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. He went into this huge pseudo-statistical analysis of the orbit of this comet and attempted to prove that it was a 6 billion to 1 chance against it having the exact orbit that it did have. All of that was absolute nonsense.
Okay. Well, it reminds me of Ed Dames innocently mentioning the companion to Hale-Bopp, and then the whole Heaven's Gate thing, just in a weird sort of, I don't know, kind of reality show nightmare sort of unfolded with all those people killing themselves so that they could go teleport to the companion to Hale-Bopp. And, man, I'll tell you, some of this stuff, you really have to be careful. If you're in the public eye, there's a lot of people out there that aren't educated, that are very gullible, that believe anything they hear. And I think people in the position of having some sort of stature in the public eye should really take that responsibility to heart and realize this stuff can backfire if you get too far ahead of yourself. Well, this leads to a couple of interesting questions about you personally. This, again, from Blaby Boy. You're semi-retired now, expat. So evidently you're working on another project, and I'm not sure what he's referring to, but he asks, is this project something that may be of interest to Paracast listeners?
Yeah, I don't know where he gets that from. I'm not working on anything to do with space. I do technical authorship and technical editing. I have various clients in the high tech business. I do documentation for them. No, I'm not involved in anything other than my blog, which of course I'm not paid for.
What is the one thing that you hope for space, you know, in terms of space in your lifetime, and what one thing will actually happen in the remaining years that you and me and Gene have left? It seems like we've kind of hit a bit of a dry spell, a lull, definitely with manned spaceflight in the United States. But, for instance, do you think the Chinese, the Indians, and other private space concerns. Of course, we know about Richard Branson. We know about Robert Bigelow and his space hotel. What do you see happening in the next three decades? Is there any hope for Earthlings to hurl themselves out into the great void?
Well, my hope would be that we see a lander on Europa. Europa, the moon of Saturn, which is an icy moon, and it's been suggested that there is a possibility of some kind of life existing on Europa. At one time, Richard Hoagland himself was a bit involved in that question. It is a possibility. A lot of very good science work has been done on that. And that's something that personally I would love to see. But that's not going to be a manned mission at all. That's not possible. It's going to be unmanned. The Chinese are going to land on the moon damn soon, probably next year or something. And that'll be fun. I'll watch that with great interest.
Yeah, me too. I'll tell you, 2.3 billion Chinese are going to be right. They're not going to be wrong. They're going to have a lot to do and have a lot of influence on what happens on this planet in the next few decades.
Hello.
So what do you think? Is there hope for other countries getting involved in space exploration, manned or otherwise?
Definitely the Chinese, definitely the Indians. I'm not sure about the Russians. They don't seem to have any money. They're in a problem even worse than we are in that regard. But who knows? They might come popping back up again.
About the whole idea of private, the private sector taking over some of the heavy lifting for refurbishing the space station and things like that. Now, space tourism. Do you think that these are, viable commercial operations with Branson's Virgin Airlines tourist flights and, of course, Bigelow Aerospace planning on putting a hotel up there? Do you think these are just pipe dreams, or do you think that these are actually, there's enough people that are willing to spend $250,000 or however much it's going to take to be one of those few people that have been, have the resources to go into space privately?
Well, it's good that you're asking this on the day after a very significant success by SpaceX, who successfully launched their Dragon capsule just yesterday, I'm speaking of the day that we recorded this program rather than the day it's going to go on the air. But that was a big success yesterday and good for SpaceX. I'm an enthusiast for private space ventures. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that there will be suborbital space tourism in the not-too-distant future. I don't know about orbital. I don't know about hotels. That's a bit of a problem because of the training people are going to need for zero-G.
Yes, indeed. You got to watch out for that zero-G because that can cause all sorts of complications. I kind of wonder what would happen if I lived for any period of time in a zero-gravitational environment.
You got to be careful when you sneeze in space.
I remember I mentioned that I did a whole show for the Nova series about life in zero-G, so I know about it and what it can do to human physiology, and it's definitely a problem, as we have seen many times when people have come back to Earth after a substantial time in orbit and not been able to walk.
The more I hear about this, the less I want to go into space. Oh, well.
It's like in the old days when you would be months at sea on a sailing ship and then you'd be on dry land. It would almost be like being on dry land and trying to get on a ship. It's the human body is kind of geared towards predictable gravity and motion. And you're right. The muscles atrophy, the organs kind of settle into a whole new place because of lack of gravity. And I'm sure producing that show, you pointed these things out. But,
yeah, well, Chris, it's worse than that. It's not just the muscles, but the actual bones. You lose calcium in your bones, so your bones get brittle.
Boy, I'm not looking forward to that when I get up there into older
age. That's why we have to have artificial gravitation. It's got to be like the Starship Enterprise.
Right, or like in 2001 where they had the spinning central core that they would do that great shot of the astronaut jogging.
Yes, that's... I'm not a fan of science fiction in general, but 2001 I just love it. It's a terrific movie. And by the way, I, in the course of making that documentary about Zero G, I used a shot of exactly that in the Skylab, which was a 1960s series of missions. They had a ring of storage lockers around the inside of that spacecraft, and it was big. It was an unused rocket tank, and they literally did jog around that ring of storage lockers, just like in the movie.
Sounds like something that was just spectacular. Expat, tell our listeners where they can read more of your material.
My blog is called The Emoluments of Mars. Emoluments really is simply a word that means payments. I'm referring to the profit that Richard Hoagland has made about writing on Mars. The address is http://dorkmission.blogspot.com.
Dork Mission, D-O-R-K
Mission.
.blogspot.com. Okay, Chris O'Brien, who can't stop laughing, has a site called OurStrangePlanet.com. Because it is a strange planet, especially when hackers shut down our web server. You can also find the Paracast on Twitter, where we are known as the Paracast. Expat, thank you so much for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.